Blog Talk Radio.
To the Dr. Karen Cam Radio Show. The intention of this show is to empower and inspire you to manifest the life of your dreams, whether it's radiant health, prosperity, loving relationships, or simply peace of mind. Thank you so much for joining me. I'm your host, Dr. Karen Cam, author of the number one bestseller, Guide to Healing Chronic Pain, A Holistic Approach. If you don't have a copy of my book, you can get the first six chapters free. You can check it out on my website, www.karencan.com. Just put your name and email address in the little box on the front page, and not only will I send you the link to download the excerpt of my book, you'll also get access to five of my Fast Track Your Healing webinar programs absolutely free, and you can, you know, log in. I'll give you the passwords. You can log in and view those at any time you like, and we cover things such as emotional healing and self-muscle testing, which is probably the most popular of the classes, law of attraction, introduction, things like that. So join me there. And I'm also on Facebook, too, so check it out. I have several pages on Facebook, and it's a great way to interact. Now, today's show is about exorcism. Now, some people might go running the other direction with that name, but we're talking about holism here and holistic. People that know me know about wellness and holistic wellness, and the folks that come to me in the office every day or do remote consults with me every day know that one of my greatest passions is about clearing unhealthy energies from people's lives, their homes, their bodies, and one of those unhealthy energies are actually what we call spirit attachments, which is a much, I guess, more politically correct or less inflammatory word than demonic possession or that kind of thing. But, you know, this is an age-old word, exorcism, possessions, age-old words that people kind of understand from, you know, books and movies and things like that. So this is something that I do every day, is to clear people of these. And it's really not a big deal, at least not anymore. Maybe, you know, 30 years ago or 50 years ago, people had a lot harder time doing it. But the way the world is ascending, the energies that are here with us, the protection that we have now, it's actually not difficult. And the idea of today's show is really to take the fear out of these things and just understand, like, what is this? So I have an expert with me today, Tyson Bannigan, and he is the president of the Holistic Intuition Society, and the website for that is www.intuit.ca. So if you say it, it's www.intuit.ca, so intuit.ca. And a little later in the show, we'll be opening up the phone line, so if you have a question about this topic, feel free to call in at 818-514-1190. Again, that's 818-514-1190, and just hit 1 so we know that your hand is up. And just so you know, we do only take questions from people whose phone numbers we can actually see, so we can call you out the last four digits of your phone number so we know who it is on the line. And if you are from abroad and you're just listening in live, you can actually use the chat as well. I'll be turning on the chat function so you can log in and actually ask your question over the chat, and we can ask Tyson some questions. So let me tell you a little bit about Tyson. He's actually a certified spiritual coach, an Atlantean and Usui Reiki master, a heart resonance advanced practitioner, master dowser and teacher, diviner and geomancer, I actually don't know what that is, so maybe you can tell us what that is. He provides wellness assessments, exorcism of possession and karmic releases, and I believe, you know, he is as passionate and love this kind of work just as I do. And according to the book by John Living, it's called Holistic Exorcism, and this is someone who's part of this organization. It's estimated that over 70% of the population suffer from some sort of spirit possession or influence at some point in their life. So that's actually pretty common. If those of you have been following me, remember I had a radio show with Samuel Sagan, and he has the book Entity Possession, and from his point of view, it was not common, but from my, and maybe it's just whoever comes to see me, but from my point of view, either there's more spirit attachments in America than the Australia area. I don't know, but I definitely find it's common, not uncommon, and it does actually really mess with people. And we're going to talk about what kind of symptoms people might have, how we can take the fear out of the whole possession thing, and just see it as something that we can heal. Healing our darks. And bringing in more light. So without further ado, welcome Tyson to the show. Thank you so much for being here.
Well, it's a pleasure to be here. Thank you for inviting me.
Yeah, this is exciting. So first of all, we want to know who you are. You have all these different credentials, after your name. And how does, a guy like yourself become, an expert in spirit releasement, or demonic possession, and how did you become interested in this field at all?
Well, I think it went back to meeting Raymond Grace at a dowsing workshop, a weekend workshop. I think it's maybe, I don't know how many years ago now, maybe 10, 15 years ago. And I was introduced to the whole pendulum and clearing and from a dowsing perspective. And I guess I became shocked that all of these entities or dark spirits or whatever you want to call them. I mean, he had an endless list of things to clear. I never thought of it before. In fact, my original sense around this is not my world. But the more I got into it and understand his clearing technique, and the more I understood just, what a problem this is. And so I started to do some research around it and created what's called the deep clearing. So because I knew that hundreds, if not thousands of people would benefit from learning how to clear themselves over a 21-day period. So that's what I did. And it really caught on. So I decided to gift it to the world and made it available for anybody and everybody off my website so that they could learn how to do this for themselves. And what I found is that about 90-some percent are able to clear themselves in 21 days, but that last percent really is the work where I have to do sort of the deep dive with the client. And, the old term is exorcism of possession, but really it is helping them clear their energy field and stand in their truth no matter what. So that was the first step. And then an 80-year-old gentleman phoned me up. His name is John Living, and said, I would like Sarah and you to take over my business, making dowsing and energy tools. So bring a camera and come and learn how to do all this. And I am an exorcist. So that's how we came together. And that's been the marriage of two different approaches to exorcism. So I've combined the two and I'm now the next step doing a certification for the exorcism of possession online course. So that's sort of in a nutshell, how I got involved in it. But say 15, 20 years ago, if you'd asked me that I was going to be doing this work, I would have said, no, I don't even believe in that stuff.
I totally resonate with that one. Although, I don't know about you as a child, but when I was younger, I was really fascinated with horror movies. I liked them. And I do find that some of the young people that I counsel and mentor, some of them really have a knack, for this kind of work. And even though they're in their teens, I think it's the work they're supposed to be doing in this world. And so I'm not surprised that it comes by them easily, and because they're not scared. And I think that's, kind of the key. So I wonder, were you into horror movies or scary movies ever as a young person?
It's funny because I never was. I found them really boring. I just didn't think they were any way close to reality, certainly not in my world. I mean, I believed in magic, and I believed in all sorts of different things and had to learn to keep my mouth shut because I was a weird kid, right? If I talked about really what was going on in my life, I was a little bit afraid they'd lock me up. But no, I didn't find that scary. I just thought, why don't they make movies about what really is going on instead of this pretend stuff. So, no, I was never attracted to scary movies, and I'm still not. I still feel that that's not the true story. I want to know the true story, and I want to see the true story on the screen, but that's just me.
Okay. Yeah, that was a curious question that I had. And, well, let's start with you know, for the person that is, this is all new stuff, but yet they're curious and they're on the show or listening to the show or the replay, what actually constitutes a spirit attachment or a so-called, what in the past they would call a demonic possession or a ghost, you know, possession? What is that exactly? What happens to your body? And what does it look like in everyday life, in your experience?
Well, in my experience, if I could look at the aura, and luckily on the page of the, you know, front cover of the Holistic Exorcism is actually a photograph using some technology that can look at the aura. And, you know, an aura, when it's clean, it's just bright. All the chakras are lined up and shining brightly. And if you look at an aura that has, you know, intrusions or entities or whatever you want to call them, in the energy field, then you can actually see dark spots. So that's there's something going on. There's something, some energy that's in the way. So the really the first indication is something doesn't feel right. The person can't sleep, or they feel they have voices in their head, or they're just not themselves, or they, you know, hard to get out of bed. They feel something is interfering with the way they used to be. Those are all indications or some type of near-death experience or trauma or a visit to a hospital or a graveyard. All these are sorts of, or even going to a bar, all these are potential places where possession or intrusion into the energy field can happen. And it's just like having the energy sucked right out of you, I guess, is the biggest symptom, right?
Right. And When you say, you know, some of these places, the hospital is interesting because people think, well, that's supposed to be a place where you heal and get better. But if you think about it, there are probably a lot of people that have died there and very sick. So the energy left over in the hospital, unless it's cleared, is actually a very low vibrational energy. But you're specifically, are you talking about when people go under anesthesia and therefore are not really connected to their bodies?
Yes. You know, anything that, you know, most, well, yeah, I want to say, but I'll say it anyway. Most people are not in their body, certainly in our culture, for whatever reason, trauma or fear or shame or guilt or whatever pattern interrupters. For many people, they're disassociated. It's safer to be outside of their body than it is to be in their body. So, you know, the expression of, I feel beside myself. Well, that's exactly right. You're not in your body. You are beside yourself. And most of us dwell there. I think, you know, part of the imaginary world as kids is that we'd rather be in the fantasy world or in another world because the one that we're in doesn't make a lot of sense to us. So helping people re-embody themselves and come to know their emotions and process their emotions through their body is one of the key aspects of helping them take back their personal power and stand in their truth no matter what. So those are sort of the direction which I help my clients move is to take them out of the scary realm outside of their body, because when they're outside of their body, it allows other beings or energies literally to walk in because nobody's home. It's sort of like having their front and back doors open and all the windows and wondering why people are walking through the middle of your house.
Yeah, I use this exact same analogy. Thank you. No, that's true. Yeah, nobody's home. Now, this is kind of an off, maybe a little weird question for you, but one of the cases, or well, I shouldn't say one, several of the cases that I've had where people are definitely not in their bodies are, I don't know how, you know, in your belief system about past lives or future lives or that kind of thing, but there are some folks that have very, very difficulty, a lot of difficulty in their physical symptoms. It's like their bodies just are just, you know, just breaking apart. It doesn't matter what age they are, you know, and they've basically baffled the medical community. And what I found with these handful of people is that when I check in and ask how much energy is charged is in their horror line, is that center beam of energy, it's very little. So they're not, it's like they're not really committed to being here, and definitely, you know, not grounded. There might be 8% of them, you know, of their spirit in their physical body. And for those that are so low, one of the things I've noticed is that they actually had a different life as a non-corporeal being. So they might have been a light being from another planet, come here to help or support Earth in the ascension. That's probably the most common one. And it makes sense. Like, they're not home. You know, they're not in their bodies. They don't know what to do. They're not kind of used to, unless they've had many, many lives here as a human, they don't really know what to do. And so they struggle with integrating this high spiritual energy into this physical body. And then they end up, you know, having these risk factors where other, you know, other non-light beings can take over, influence them. I had one woman literally thrown across the room. And she said, I was the only person she could tell. I mean, because she said everyone else is going to think I'm crazy. You know, we've since remedied the issue, but that was it. Like, she just, you know, wasn't there. She wasn't in her body.
The other thing I've discovered, I describe it a little differently, but for some people, imagine that you made a soul commitment on the other plane before you incarnated to planet Earth, and you chose your parents and your life path to have the soul experience you want, and now you're incarnating, and now you see the situation as you get to the closer to the fetus or the body that you're going to embody, and then all of a sudden the truth of what's about to happen just becomes overwhelming. So for many people, they don't fully arrive. When I check in, you know, are they fully here or on planet Earth? A lot of them are not even, you know, maybe less than 25%. So, you know, it's like putting on their brakes before they actually incarnated into the body. So
yeah.
Some of them are really, truly disembodied. And for those people, I literally do a whole rebirthing with them and bring them through and welcome them to planet Earth. Sort of have a welcoming committee on this side.
Oh, that's great. Yes, I noticed that too. Yeah, so thank you for that. It's very, very interesting. So tell us a little bit more about some symptoms. Now, obviously, these symptoms can be caused by, you know, so-called real medical, you know, conventionally diagnosable medical issues. But what differentiates? First of all, you know, name some of the symptoms again, but what differentiates these kinds of symptoms from medical symptoms? How would people know the difference?
That's a great question. I think the clue is if you've been to the doctor and they can't figure anything out and they want to put you onto drugs, right, or sent you for a mental assessment, then that's a clue that maybe it's time to reach out to somebody like you or myself to do some work before you go that path. So that's the first thing. There's no medical reason why. Now, I would think from a medical perspective, and I'm not a doctor, and I don't know that, but certainly I know brain chemistry has some part to do in all this, and I've been reading about that. So I realize when, you know, certain parts of the brain are not getting what it needs, that it can have these hallucinogenic experiences and otherworldly experiences. But I think the hardest thing for anybody who comes to me to understand, or for any human being, and including myself, is that I am responsible and everyone else is responsible for creating the life that they lead. And that means taking radical responsibility for absolutely everything that shows up in one's life, including everything that's happening on the planet. And when you start to think that way, it becomes almost overwhelming, because that means you have to become responsible for every thought, word, deed, and action. So I would say that's the biggest thing, is helping people who come to me understand that they've created this reality for their own soul growth, and to help them understand, well, where's the gift in this? You know, even though it's horrific, and even though there's voices in their head, or even though their energy is being, like, the very life of them is being sucked out, or whatever the other symptoms are, that this is something that they've chosen. So now that you've chosen that on the soul level, then how can I help you understand that it is a gift? Where is the gift? And how then can you reclaim the energy inside of yourself, so you no longer need something outside of yourself for this lesson to be learned. So that's a big one. In our culture, we don't think that way, right? We're more inclined to say, well, somebody's doing something to me.
Right. Yeah, kind of the victimhood. They certainly, you know, don't choose it consciously.
No.
Like, I'm not consciously wanting to have a demon possess me or consciously have cancer or that kind of thing. But what you're saying is that, you know, for our soul's experience, there's certain experiences that we have co-created with the universe so we can get the gift and the learning from it. So if we can take responsibility but not blame, right? You're not talking about blaming ourselves.
No. In fact, that delays the whole process.
Yeah, exactly. If we have self-judgment, because a lot of people do that, right? They watch The Secret and they talk about Law of Attraction and like, oh my gosh, my thoughts and emotions are causing all my problems. And so that's horrible, you know? And then they get really down on themselves because they can't change their thoughts or they can't change their emotions. And then they build even more worse emotions of guilt because they're like, I'm creating this, you know? So, or other people saying, look, it's the Law of Attraction, you're creating this, so it's almost like they're blaming the other person. It's their fault, you know. But a lot of people say, well, what about a so-called innocent baby, you know, that has a brain tumor and dies? You know, did the baby want the brain tumor? Did the baby, you know, create the brain tumor? And what we're saying is, well, not consciously when they're incarnated, but on a soul level, there was some experience that we can, you know, we don't have to blame ourselves for, but we just realize, like you said, I love what you said about that. Is about, you know, gaining that power back, empowerment, and the gift and the experience. Excellent.
Yeah, so that's another large part of my work is understanding, you know, how to deal with these decision points that we have every day in our lives. You know, do we want to come from the human mind consciousness of fear, doubt, shame, guilt, overwhelm, and all the other symptomatics of the rat race that some of our culture feels is the only way to succeed in life? Or do we want to come from our true nature, which is connected to source, and allow the divinity or to flow through us and know that we're connected to source, always have been, always were, will be loved, nurtured, and taken care of, and to believe other than that is an illusion, a fabrication of the brain. And that's another big one to grasp and try and implement on a day-to-day basis with everything that shows up in your life that you're responsible for. So teaching people about that also helps them free themselves from their own stories, those endless loops that we get caught in about why this is happening to me or why somebody is doing this to me or if I only had this or only these certain people to get rich or if I only could, all those stories, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I hear you. Now, some of the signs... you talked a little bit before about these attachments can cause an energy sieve or sucking out of energy. So lack of energy, obviously, is probably a symptom. I've had some people with, with headaches or, you know, issues in the part of the body that the spirit has attached to or they themselves, like in one particular case. When I asked this, where it was attached, and it was like, her uterus or cervix or something. And I mean, it was the first time I was seeing this woman, so I'm thinking, well, she's going to go bolting out of the office. But so I said, well, it's actually your father. And I said, did he have any illnesses? She goes, yeah, he died of prostate cancer. So I thought that was really interesting that that's where he ended up attaching is in her female parts, where he himself had some issues. So what other kinds of symptoms might people have besides feeling tired?
Yeah, that's a great question, and it varies as much from client to client. I think one of the first things that I do is I just douse and look at their energy field and see how much energy being lost. I'm not trying to avoid the question, but I spent a lot of time in the beginning of trying to figure out who's doing what to him and whether they are aliens and they have six legs and they're pink or orange or they're from this planet or from their hooks or attachments or the ET or their government or their whatever. And I just found myself going down a rabbit hole. So now I don't really care where this energy or attachment's coming from. And I'm not overly concerned about really what the symptoms are, other than I know that any symptom is your body is trying to tell you something.
Mm-hmm.
And so whether it's rooted in, you know, your own conscious belief, or it's because your own unconscious collective belief has been overridden by some other energy interference, or your boundaries between you and everything else and the planet and maybe even the universe and the multi-universe is such that it's a sponge or a sieve and you're running everybody else's energy. That's where I start. I look at, you know, what is your body trying to tell you? And every disease, disorder has some root in some belief that you had usually between the age of, well, I was going to say between the age of zero, but maybe that's the way to do it, because some of us in prenatal and some of us past life, but mostly up to the age of seven, when we don't have the wherewithal to understand the world around us, so we make some assumptions or judgments or believe some stories as being true, and then we run them in an endless loop until hopefully sometime in the future you know the person gets some assistance from people like you or myself that helps them understand that these get in your way, that these are unconscious stories that you're running that are limiting your life and your beliefs and creating these symptoms, whether they're a disorder or a tension or leading to disease. So that's sort of how I see it. So there could be all sorts of symptoms.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think for my patients, I've noticed that one of the clues is if they have nightmares, like suddenly, especially, you know, and some of them have actually said, I've been visiting, you know, my loved one in the cemetery. Can you please just check that I didn't bring anybody back?
Right.
You know, but so like you, you know, really it's about shoring up the person's spiritual immunity, their energetic immunity, and releasing whatever imbalances, whether they be beliefs like you were talking about. And like you said, I do find genetically handed down beliefs, you know, from past lives, future lives, whatever beliefs that don't serve the person's soul, and releasing those. And so they become stronger and stronger and stronger and less likely to be susceptible to these attachments. But for those of us that are generally not susceptible anymore to attachments, I do find, though, that people are becoming much more sensitive, and maybe, you know, and I'm super, super sensitive, but so they can actually have emotional shifts even if an entity like a ghost or a demonic spirit or something like that is around them but not attached to them. So maybe you can comment a little bit about that phenomenon where it's not an attachment, but people are still having symptoms, so to speak.
Yeah, that's a good point. I actually went to the website to look at some of the indications of possession. I think you hit the nail, and I'm backing up to the previous question, and I'll get to the one you're talking about now. You know, I think the clue, you said it really quite clearly, and that is a sudden change in your personality, like you're this way, and then almost the next day you wake up and you have these different thoughts, right? That's a clue. All of a sudden there's strong negativity where you were, you know, a fairly joyful person, or all of a sudden you're in deep depression, or rapid mood changes, or uncontrolled temper, or self-inflicted harm, violent behavior, criminal behavior, suicidal tendencies, chronic illness, epilepsy, or dual personalities or voices in the head are all symptoms. Being mm-hmm. around people, I mean, I think that's one of the reasons why, especially with the newer generations coming through, this hypersensitivity, they're born with a greater understanding and awareness of what's around them. And I think that the precursor is that they have the feelings of what that they're going into. Like most of us have that feeling. We walk into a room and it just doesn't feel comfortable. We know
right.
something's up or something's wrong, and that's our early warning system that we, one, either need to leave, or two, we need to know how to clear ourselves and clear ourselves right away. And also when we leave, we need to clear ourselves before we come back into you know, into our home, which would be our sanctuary and free of any entities or intrusions from any and all sources. So, yeah, I think that's the sensitivity I'm hoping that the people I work with can gain. It's not, I don't want them to shut off that sensitivity because it really is the early warning symptom, I mean the early warning system that gives them the clue that something's up and they need to, I'm not saying put up their defenses, they just need to clear themselves.
Yes, that's right. Well, you know, and for, you know, my husband's one of these, you know, what we call indigos or newer generation folks, and so he is definitely super sensitive to energy, and so he will notice he starts getting negative thoughts or angry for no reason. And you know, when I do some testing or my form of, you know, dowsing through muscle testing, sometimes these entities are not even within a local vicinity, you know, like I, you know, the last one I can't remember, it was like 1,000 feet away or something, you know, was some sort of lower realm, you know, entity that he was sensing. Now, mind you, I would love to say that he manages his energy field and, you know, clears himself and grounds himself daily, but, you know, when you're married to the one that does it all the time, sometimes family members don't, you know, don't really do that. They kind of rely on the other person to, like, oh, okay, well, if there's a problem, she'll fix it. So, but, so he'll sense it, and he'll say to me, he says, I think I've got an entity attachment, you know, and of course, I'll check him, and 99% of the time it's not attached. It's just around, you know, that he can sense because he's so sensitive. And a couple of times, it was actually not even from this lifetime. So that's kind of like messing with you know, people's brains sometimes to go, how am I supposed to know that? You know, aside from dowsing. But to be able to be affected by other lives. Any comments on that sensitivity?
Yeah, I mean, I have some clients, particularly that are First Nations, and, you know, we've had to set up vortexes to literally clear First Nations burial grounds and trap souls of, you know, hundreds of thousands of people. So I think some are being born at this time in order to be the shamans for their different cultures or traditions and indigenous beliefs, and have to, you know, combine their shamanistic training with, the exorcism of possession, or however we want to call this new field of endeavor, to really clear these areas of cropped trauma, which is locked into the land. And you were actually asking, you know, what is geomancy? And that's exactly what geomancy is. It's dealing with the energy lines and ley lines and the trapped, human negativity that's in those energy lines that then can lead to disease and disorder, and also just has entities that need to be freed back to the light or back to source to continue their soul growth. So people like that, certainly too native people I'm working with now, it's just like Grand Central Station, their house, their being, you know, every entity, and Tom, Dick, and Harry is attracted to them and going through them. So we have to set up energy vortexes out so they don't process all those energies. They don't no longer go through the being, but go through a vortex that we create and send them to. So this is the new work that I feel that we're being called to do, is to not only clean up ourselves, but then to turn around and clean up our cultures and our traditions, and then clean up the actual geographical sites, like the Middle East, for example, or Bosnia and Herzegovina, and, you know, places where trauma has been culturally going on from generation to generation, with curses and, you know, all those sorts of things that and feuds and the whole basis of war. So that's the huge calling that I see that I'm involved in, and I'm feeling more and more of the next generation coming through is it feels called to do that as well.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Well, that's great. It's so in keeping with, you know, what I sense, and Mother Earth and I are pretty close, although you wouldn't know to see it because I like staying indoors so much, but. We're really connected, so I feel her stuff, and sometimes I'll just wake up and I'm not me anymore because I'm feeling her stuff, And aside from getting rid of and healing any imbalances that caused me to just automatically proxy for her, sometimes I'm still called to do some things. And sometimes there are parts of the world, geography is my worst subject. And my sister, my dad think it's hilarious because he's a geography teacher and she's actually works in the field of geographical mapping systems. So we think it's hilarious. I don't know where, you know, each European country is. But, you know, there'll be places that I literally have to look online to go, where the heck is this that Mother Earth wants me to clear? And I have no idea, like, what's going on there, but just that I've been called to clear it. So, and this positive vortex you're talking about, it's funny because, like, when I was doing some of this work and it was getting bigger and bigger and more global, I really didn't have you, you know, as far as a contact to like, ask. So I was just pretty much just going with what I was being, you know, intuited, told, whatever, from source, what to do or how to intervene. And I was imagining, like, this positive light vortex. And in these places, I found stuff underground, you know, several thousand feet underneath the house, you know, and this poor woman was just seeing entities. And she had a clairvoyant gift. So, you know, people thought she was going crazy. But I checked in with another healer just as an objective third party, and she goes, oh, yeah, she is definitely seeing them. I mean, she has some medical issues, but she is definitely seeing them. So we set up this positive vortex and to help out, and it's been much better. But a lot of the stuff you're talking about, I sort of stumbled through it. Like, I don't really know what to do here, so I have to ask, you know, what do I do here? Because I have nobody else to ask, you know, like what to do. So it's great to hear, you know, some of the things that you're saying. It's wonderful validation for me, so thank you.
Yeah, it can be a lonely journey at times. I've part of a consortium for doing planetary healings using dowsing and muscle testing that's working worldwide, and you know, being called to do this work. Also on the Facebook page that I have, the Dowsing and Energy Healing, which is a closed Facebook group that you can ask to be included in. We, I think, one of the days of the week we do that, we, you know, anybody can choose a place that needs to be cleared on the planet, or actually a building, like a hospital or whatever. We put the, you know, the address in there, and then every Tuesday on our call, on our teleclinic dowsing and energy healing call, we then clear those sites, right? So most dowsers,
nice.
Certainly the, you know, the ones that have been doing it for a long time, they're clearing everywhere they go. They just intuitively know that something needs to be cleared, and they'll then clear it. So if you're traveling with one of the old dowsers in a car, they got their pendulum clearing, you know, here, and then they're clearing there, and they're always doing this wherever they go, moving energy.
Yeah, that's really interesting because I was on another call recently, and there's some controversy over whether or not. Now, obviously, if someone is, you know, possessed or has an attachment of a spirit that's not doing them any good, they did not obviously have free will and say, hey, come attach to me, you know. So I don't feel like we need permission to release those, you know, and heal those entities. But as far as, you know, going through, like you said, you know, like, you know, going to a mall or, you know, going to a bar or whatever, is there a place where it is outside healthy boundaries for us to always be clearing these places? First of all, is it a burden to the healer at all? And second of all, you know, do we need permission if it's someone else's establishment to do this kind of healing work?
That's a great question. I like that question. Here's, you know, and everybody, you know, has to come to their own sense of what's right for them, because we create our and live in our own world. But for me, it's the most benevolent. I always say, when I clear, most benevolent outcome for all concerned. And when I say that, all concerned, I mean all life forms. So, for example, I may have a geopathic stress or ley line coming through my house, and it's interrupting my sleeping patterns, and I can ask that energy line to change, or I can put organite in the corners. I can do, you know, whatever I need to do to change it from non-beneficial to beneficial. But I'm really aware that once it leaves the house, it needs to go back the way it was, because I have no idea what is, you know, an energy line that a deer may follow, or wildlife, or, you know, they may be using for, you know, flight paths for birds. So I only want to deal with the world that's affecting me, that's draining my energy and is not beneficial for me, and then put it back the way that it was. Now, having said that, you know, when it comes to graveyards and it comes to hospitals and places like that where there are trapped souls that don't know their way back to the light, or in some cases don't even know that they're dead, then, you know, to me it's fair game. And do we need a permission to clear somebody? Well, I think if you just, you know, do it for the most benevolent outcome, if that's their soul path to hang on to it, they will hang on to it. And if they're ready to release, they'll release. So that, to me, is, you know, that and the law of one, which is do no harm. Those are the two ones I abide by.
Gotcha. Right, and so say you have someone who, because of their beliefs, habits, whatever, doesn't believe in entities, but believes that they are of the light, or they're a light, you know, worker. But yet, you know, a lot of entities attached to this person, and then these entities get passed. Unfortunately, because I've noticed the people that this person has so-called helped, or, you know, given gifts to, or, you know, bought things from this person, have had attachments to them that I've had since to clear. So is there a way of, if that person, for whatever reason, cannot be permanently cleared because they haven't done their own work, they keep attracting entities, is there a way to put like a bubble around that person so they don't, their entities don't harm other people, even if we can't, you know, they don't recognize there's an issue?
Yeah, that's a good question. I don't know. I know that many so-called spiritual leaders, gurus, or however you want to describe them, are, their energy field is literally leaking. In other words, you can be in the same room with them and feel something happening to you, which has to do with discarnate or, you know, non-beneficial energies in their field. So a lot of that can happen, and a lot of so-called gurus or spiritual teachers or healers are not aware of the work that we do, and therefore don't know that they need to clear themselves, so are really perfect habitat for disincarnate beings, to, because there's a lot of power in guruship and, you know, having people following them and all the rest of it. There can be a bit of ego attachment there, so the consequences of that can be quite dramatic. I know I'm not answering your question, but that really came up as something that I've seen. Now, whether you can put a bubble around them, that I'm not so sure of. Maybe that they're that way, so that we need to learn how to do it for ourselves. So for me, you know, it all begins and it ends with ourselves. You know, it's our energy world. It's our reality we're creating. So it's our responsibility to make sure that we're, you know, clean and clear. So, you know, we take a shower every day or every second day, and we need to take a spiritual shower every day or second day by doing a clearing. So that's how I look at it. Whether we should clear those type of people, well, I know Raymond Grace, you know, who is one of my master Taoists or teachers, he just goes ahead and does it, you know, particularly with anybody that's doing any violence. He's really quite dramatic, way more dramatic than I want to be. He opens up the brain and just scrambles it, you know, if it's a predator. I'm not quite so dramatic. I don't want to do any harm to any being, whoever they are, whatever the soul path is. You know, they're on their own evolution, and I don't really want to interfere with it. I just don't want it to interfere with me, and I certainly don't want it to interfere with anybody I'm working with.
Okay, gotcha. Well, we have some questions here. One is, you know, you're talking about going into the light. Do demonic spirits and discarnate, you know, so-called ghosts, do they all go to the same light? Is there different lights? And do dark spirits deserve to go to the light? I mean, there's all these related questions, so I'll just ask those two.
All right. Do you want me to start answering them?
Sure.
All right, so that's a great question. Again, you know, when I was working with, I phoned Raymond over the whole area that we're clearing with. There's a football field that was, or a playground, or not a playground, but a huge sports area in the lower mainland of British Columbia that was built on top of Indian burial ground. Like, we're talking about hundreds, thousands of souls.
That's in British Columbia?
Raymond tuned into it, and I said, you know, they're not going to the light. He said, well, no, they can't go to the light. They don't understand what you're talking about. You need to use the language that they understand. Talk about the happy hunting ground. So, you know, going to the light is a Western cultural artifact of a belief system that spirits go to the light. You know, in the First Nations, it's going to the happy hunting ground or returning to Great Spirit or that. So I think there might be different terminologies for other Indigenous peoples as well. So we have to be careful of what terminology we're using for what, you know, what sort of thing that we're clearing. But whatever the intention is, or whatever the words are, the intention is to help them return to the other side. And what I mean by the other side is the dimension in which they can then obtain another body to reincarnate and to continue their soul's growth. So that's what we want to happen. And with that means showing them the doorway or the portal or the light or the happy hunting ground or returning to Great Spirit or becoming one with God or, you know, sending them to heaven or whatever the terminology, it doesn't really matter. We just want them to, one, recognize that they're no longer needed because we've learned the lesson that we needed from them. Two, that they need to get on with their own soul growth, that being a piggybacker in another energy field is not a cool way to evolve, that the only way to process emotions and grow as a soul, or that not the only way, but the fastest way is to incarnate and have a physical body, so we encourage them to do that. And to honor the fact that those that have done their soul work and have been able to be here with a body, they've done their work, right? And it's now the time for this entity or discarnate energy to go and get their own body and have this experience. And then the last thing around this, you know, we're here on Earth in the midst of major change and transformation. So I understand why many, many beings from many dimensions, multi-dimensions and planets and whatnot want to be here for this time of change and transformation. And, you know, any way that they can stick around and have that experience even in somebody's energy field is better than nothing. So I understand from a compassion level why this is occurring, but there is the law of no, you know, the law of one, which is do no harm. So everybody needs to abide by that, whatever dimension they're coming from.
Yeah, that's a really great point. Thank you. So the other question, so you talked about doing teaching people to do a clearing or self-clearing in 21 days, and, you know, most, if not all, people are able to do that. So they want to know exactly, you know, what kinds of things do you teach in this course, and how do they access that?
The course, there's two ways of doing this. One is, you know, it's my gift to the world. So you could go to www.energydetective.ca and in the left-hand column, find clearings and then look for the deep clearing. And I have included a video when you sign in, and it gives you the latest version of the deep clearing. And I update it usually every spring and fall. And you're welcome to share it with your friends. I just ask that you don't change anything is copywritten, but, you know, do share it around. That's the whole idea of this, is to clear the planet. If you would like some assistance in this undertaking, I do have an online course. It's $197 US, and it's called Take Back Your Power Now, and that can be found at the Extraordinary Healing Arts Academy. And the easiest way to do that is type in www.wellnessacademy.ca, which will take you to the academy, and just sign in and take the course. And then, of course, the next level is to hire me as a coach or mentor to help clear you up and teach you how to do that. And that then goes to the level of the certification program.
Another
thing you could do also is just is order the book, The Holistic Exorcism, if you wanted to know some of the background information and literature from John Living's point of view. That's another way to get at it.
Okay, so how easy or not easy is it for people to learn to clear themselves?
It's just being consistent. You know, they say it takes 21 days to change a habit. You know, maybe it's 30, maybe it's 40. You know, the more you do something consistently, the more it changes your whole energy pattern. So think of it this way. If you're on a certain frequency, like a radio station, then that could be the frequency of discarnate or entities or dark energies or whatever you want to call them are on the same frequency. But as you do the clearing day after day, at the seventh day, it starts to clean up because you've raised your radio frequency, let's call it a radio frequency, and those entities are no longer on your channel. So it's really all has to do with frequency and energy. We're raising your body frequency or your bioenergy field or your aura, or you could say strengthening your aura or clearing your aura, so that you're vibrating at a frequency that's greater than all the fourth dimensional, you know, beings or astral beings or however you want to describe where they come from, no longer are on your wavelength anymore. So it's not difficult, but you need to be doing it consistently. So what I say is do it every day. Do it when it feels weird that something's happening in, you know, that just, you know, you have just doesn't feel right. Do it again, mm-hmm. and do it 21 days in a row. If you miss a day, start all over again. And after that, you can move to what's called a short clearing, which is like just a paragraph. And I include new ones all the time for clients and also post them in the Dowsing and Energy Healing Facebook group. So that's the short form. And then after you've done it for a long period of time, you just really basically say clear, and you're running all that program because it's now part of your subconscious. So it's just stepping stones of putting it into your energy field so it becomes second nature.
Oh, that's great. I mean, it's amazing. Like, your work is so paralleling what I'm doing as well. And, you know, the Light Warrior class that I had, and I've, you know, sent the replay link to all my patients, and I said, look, you brush your teeth, right, every day? Yes. You comb your hair? Yes. You know, you put on fresh, you know, clean underwear? Yes. I'm like, okay, so this is homework. You know, I come from a line of teachers, Tyson, so we like giving homework. So that's their homework. They've got morning homework and they've got before bed homework, you know, cleaning their aura and grounding and, you know, that kind of thing. And for those that have been doing it regularly, I have noticed a huge difference. So when they come in and I check, because, you know, I can, you know, check to see where they're at. I mean, before they might have been like 8% grounded, you know, and then when I check, they might be like 89% grounded now, you know, because they've been doing it almost every day. So I think it's great. I really subscribe to the same kind of, you know, program that you're talking about, is that consistency, that it's not necessarily difficult, but just like any new habit, it takes a little while for us to really, you know, own it.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
I just say, do the work, get the results.
Right. The other question we have is about, we have about 6 minutes left, so I want to make sure we have enough time to say all of your websites again for people at the end, but was about, can you say a little bit about the technology, about checking auras, and then the other question was about curses and hexes, are they real?
Well, starting with curses and hexes, of course, let's put it this way. I was going to say, of course, they're real. But, you know, everything begins and ends with your own belief system. So if you believe they're real, then they are definitely real in your world. Hexes or curses are not real in my world because they're not allowed in my world because I clear myself. But they could be in your world and not even know about them. So that's a roundabout way of saying that, yes, the curses and hexes do exist, and you need to be aware of them and clear yourself. And once you have your energy field and you're managing it, then you're free of any curses or hexes. And, of course, staying out of shame, guilt, fear, doubt. Those are the biggie ones. Those, you know, that's food for disincarnate beings. Is all those negative emotions. That's what they feed on. And I think that's what got me started in this whole thing of the gross thought that other entities, beings could feed on negative energy in humans. That just to me was so gross. It was grosser than going to a horror movie. It was just grossed me out, and actually got me really, really angry. And I just sort of stomping around doing all this clearing for a while, you know, sort of wielding the swordest of Archangel Michael and slicing
Michael,
and dicing.
Yeah.
But I'm over that now. I'm much more calm about the work I do. But I was really quite angry about it in the beginning. So, yeah, they can be true in your world, absolutely. What was the other part of the question? I got carried away on that part.
A different question was about where can we find, what was it? Oh, yeah, the technology for checking how happy our auras are or how clean our auras are.
Well, for me, I just douse on percentages. So, you know, is your aura 100% clear? And the answer is yes or no, and then I ask percentages, right?
Yeah, me too.
So that's how I do that, and that's in more than a beginner's dowsing course, how to do that. I'm also moving that component over to take back your personal power now, because people are saying, well, Tyson, you say check your energy field. I don't know how to do that, so I'm moving that video part of the course over so people can learn how to do that on their own.
Okay, perfect. But on the Holistic Exorcism book, it looks like there's some sort of image or picture of a person with a dirty aura and a clean aura, and people are curious, like, what kind of instrument is that? Are you familiar with that?
No, I can't remember what that is. I know that it was done by a friend of John Living's, and it's some technology that I can't remember what it is. I could look it up for people if you're interested. But I'm not aware of it. I've never experienced it. But, boy, it sure makes for a dramatic picture to show you what entities do look like. And you can even see, you know, where the major problems are. The other thing to do is if you're a dowser or if you're sensitive, and most of you are, in fact, most of the people that I do work with are actually healers, and they are hypersensitive and work with clients and have got themselves into trouble by having other people's energy move through them to clear. But that being said, you know, if you are highly sensitive, you can go around the person's aura and actually feel where these entities are and then extract them. So that's another way that you can do that. Or you can draw the picture of the person and then intuitively find out where the entity is, the dark spot, intuitively, and then remove it as well. So, I mean, you don't need to have this technology. This is for people that need to see scientific evidence. You can just go ahead and do it.
Great. So we've got some websites, and people, if you have a pen and paper, you might want to write down. So we have the 21-day clearing that you can do at www.energydetective.ca. On the left-hand side, click on clearings, and then deep clearing, and that's updated usually spring and fall. So you can go there for your, free exercises. And remember that that's copywritten, so you don't want to change that, but you can pass it along to others. And then the next step up from that is at the wellnessacademy.ca. Take back your power course for $197. And then after that, you can get personal consultations with Tyson if you're still having issues, or if you're really into this work, like so many of us now are growing, to go ahead and check out the certification course for Holistic Exorcism, which is available too. Is that also available on the wellnessacademy.ca, Tyson?
Yeah, I'll give you the full one link. It's www.extraordinary-healing- Arts, period, Academy.
Okay.
Just in case the other link doesn't work. But, you know, the short link is just in case.
Okay.
And
so
you can also
Academy.
Just get hold of me. Let me give me the 800 toll-free number, and that's another way. If none of these work for you and you still want to get hold of me, it's 1-866-369-DOWSING or 369-7464.
Okay, so 866-369-7464. Oh, that's great. Okay, 7464.
Yeah, 7464.
Okay, perfect. Well, Tyson, it's been a great pleasure having you on the show, and for everyone listening in, and thank you for putting in all your questions. Lots of great information. Thank you so much. This was fun.
Yeah, thank you very much for inviting me onto the show.
Oh, my pleasure, and thanks everyone for listening in. Until next time, bye for now.